To the book of 1 Peter.
Faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes and will be refined by fire,
may result in praise and glory and honor when Christ is revealed. So notice, friends, that Peter makes an important comparison here. I wonder if you caught that. He compares the Christian's faith in trial with gold refined by fire. He, so to speak, places them on either side of the scale. He weighs them to see and judge and measure their worth. How precious, how valuable, how genuine is your faith in trial compared with precious and valuable gold? Gold has always been one of the most precious of metals, and it always will be. A piece of gold hung around your wrist, your neck, fashioned as a ring, could be invaluable. I remember once shopping for a wedding ring, and we entered a jewelry store, and I'm sure my jaw remained dropped as we wandered around, and the price of some of the jewelry over there as I wandered through the store. And it's as though Peter here searches his mind for the most precious, the most valuable, the most cherished and valued treasure, and compares it with the Christian's faith in trial. And notice what he says there. The same way that trial, that fire, shapes and refines gold, the same way the fire of trial refines and shapes and strengthens the Christian's faith. Verse 7. Trial is to faith what fire is to gold. Do you see that in our passage? Do you see why your faith in suffering is so precious? Why it stands the test of time? Why it is of immeasurable value? Well, because unlike gold, it perishes when refined and met with fire, your faith in Jesus is of so much greater worth because it does not perish when strengthened, when tested. It is instead strengthened in the heat of the fire of trial. The fire of trial vindicates the genuineness, the preciousness, the worth and value of our faith in Jesus. It is not intended to destroy it. It cannot, as the point Peter is making, it cannot destroy genuine, precious, believing faith. And this is important because it means that God does not send trial to break his children. He's not cruel. He's not a shepherd who breaks the bruised reed. He sends them, ordains them, intends them to refine us and shape us and mold us, as we saw this morning, as the image of his Son. In the midst of trial, friends, remember that God is, so to speak, at the furnace, using the heat of trial to shape you into the likeness of Jesus. And that means, friends, as jolting as they often are, as disheartening as they may feel in the moment, as confusing as they may be, the believer's trial in that moment is for the ultimate good. Like a comfortable medicine for the sick child. The pain of exercise intended for a patient's recovery. In the end, Peter says, the proven genuineness, the proven preciousness, the proven immeasurable worth of the faith in Jesus is so visibly seen in your perseverance during trials of various kinds. And friends, we see that, don't we? Do you ever reflect in hindsight and praise God that although you once endured painful trial, it has brought you to a point of such greater love and zeal for Jesus. Don't consider that. Strengthened your faith in so many ways. Increased your courage and love and desire to make Jesus known in especially difficult circumstances. So we can all think of those moments. Second phrase, before we move on to our second point, then, let us be an encouragement, a reminder for us to consider in those moments how we may be strengthened and controlled. Often we lament and we only lament. We're frustrated and we stay frustrated and we perhaps complain. At times we revel in self-pity. But God intends for us, yes, to lament. So it's a biblical thing to do in the right way. But in the lament, to seek Him, to trust Him. So trial, in difficulty, friends, in uncertainty, ask, well, how could my faith be strengthened? Or how perhaps is my faith being strengthened in this moment? Is the preciousness, the genuineness of my faith in Jesus visibly displayed in this circumstance? How could I, in perseverance, show faithfulness to Jesus in the midst of difficulty? Consider that. Don't despair in those moments. Remember this. It is for your good, and in it you're being refined by the fire of trial. And so in it, press on all the more towards Christ. As Peter would later say, don't be surprised when fire of trial comes upon you. Like they're strange, they're not strange. They do come, they will come, they must come. Not to break or to bruise, but to strengthen you. And to vindicate, to show the tested genuineness of your precious faith in Jesus. And so in light of these circumstances, respond by leaning on Christ. Pursue Christ. Seek Christ. Help others to pursue Christ. This is how our faith is strengthened in trial, is strengthened. We use that in these moments to turn to the Word. Use the means of grace that God has given you. Immerse yourself in the life of the church. Seek brothers and sisters in prayer and counsel and trust that God intends to use these trials for your good, your ultimate greater good. God ordains trial to vindicate the preciousness and genuineness of the Christian's faith. Second, God ordains trial to glorify Jesus on the last day. Do you see that in the last half of our passage? And this is what Peter points to. This is the greater goal and purpose of grief in all kinds of trials. These have come, ultimately, as your faith is strengthened, its preciousness made visible, these have come, must come, so that the genuineness of your faith may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. And this is such a good thing that we notice all through the New Testament. We live life today not only anticipating what is coming, and I think I referred to that last week, but because of what is coming. At times we see our life in this world as, so it's merely, and I've heard this in the past, it's sort of a pit stop, and we wait, and in the grand scheme of things, what we do today is irrelevant. We just wait, just hang around, and do what we can. We just live a little bit to get the good stuff. But Peter makes a very different point here. What we experience now matters. It matters today. It matters about what is coming. It matters immeasurably. And that, friends, Peter reminds us, is cause for comfort in the midst of all kinds of trials. Paul makes a similar point here to Paul. Again, in 2 Corinthians 4, the light momentary afflictions, Paul said, that we endure are not merely hiccups as we stop for a little while. But they're doing something. They're preparing for us, Paul says, an eternal weight of glory. It means something. It achieves something. And here, as of course we're rejoicing in our trials, what do these all kinds of trials achieve? Well, the greatest possible goal. The greatest possible end. The most rewarding achievement possible. When Jesus is revealed, as when Christ returns with his people, when the Lord descends as our King and Judge, these various kinds of trials we endure now, our perseverance in them, our pursuit of Jesus in them, our daily, ordinary, hard, trusting by faith in Jesus in them, results in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus returns. God purifies, refines our faith today in the trial, the final trial, so that when Jesus is revealed and is coming, the trial-tested genuineness of your faith makes him look all the more glorious. Through these trials, our faith becomes a mirror, reflects, shows, and reveals all the more as we depend on Christ today, reveals the glory and praise and honor that Jesus deserves. That's the greatest achievement, isn't it? I know what this means, friends. Sure, Christ is honored and glorified in our living, in our persevering, and our suffering. But in a special way, Jesus is exalted and glorified in our trials today. And when he returns in glory. And this is so important because this is why Peter can say, in light of this common glory that is to be revealed, the many griefs of all kinds of trials we endure today are only endured now, Peter can say in verse 6, for a little while. Does it feel like a little while? But it is temporary, the grand scheme of things. Short and brief. Compared to eternity, we endure today a little suffering, or again, Paul, momentary affliction, in anticipation of eternal glory when Jesus is revealed. Friends, doesn't that put our lives in perspective? Our experience, our trials, especially, in perspective? It should. Peter intends it to. Why? Well, because Peter wants us to endure these trials and in the moment as we endure them, long for the eager anticipation of Christ's return. He wants us to endure our moments of trials as we await eternity of glory. He wants us to have this in our minds. To have this perspective, to have this view, to have this driving hope and encouragement, to have this anticipation in mind. When we know that our trials result in praise and glory and honor, not only of Christ himself, but our eternal weight of glory that we await when he's revealed, then, not only then, and we rejoice, but it makes much sense that we can greatly rejoice, as Peter says. And remember this, recall this. The various kinds of trials we endure today are consequential and important. They do something. But they're also temporary. They prepare us for what is coming. They will result in honor and glory and praise of Jesus when he appears. Do you look forward to that? Do you anticipate that? We should. We should long for it. So remind yourself of that. Gather with God's people and hear it proclaimed again and again. This is our hope and our joy in trial, our great ground for rejoicing. Jesus will return, and when he does, when he appears, the faithful result in praise, glory, and honor that far outweighs the griefs that we face today, even though for a little while. So God ordains trial to vindicate the preciousness and genuineness of your faith and to bring glory to Jesus when he returns. Rejoice in that. Let it drive you to cling to your shepherd in the midst of all kinds of trial. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we do have this hope that we know in the midst of all we endure that you are at work. You're not caught off guard, searching for a plan B when we face trials. No, as we learn in the story of Joseph, you mean for it, you intend it, but not to bruise us, not to destroy, but to strengthen us, to help us to depend on you, to make known the glory and the beauty of Jesus. Lord, as we face all sorts of trials, as Peter says, help us to remember this and to be a people who learn to heavily depend on you in every moment as we long for anticipating the coming of Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name.